What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 7:40 here on this abbreviated Tuesday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to in a little bit of time. That's baseball comes your way following your boy Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Get you warmed up for Nats and Astros. The fellas last night, Brad Lord in the bullpen, throwing gas, giving up just 4 hits over the span of 9 innings. We'll see if they can keep the good times rolling here tonight with our guy Michael Soroka on the bump. He'll get the start for Miguel Cairo's squad. Now, that's probably all the Nationals that we'll talk in this show, because clearly I was boots on the ground out in Ashburn this morning. Day 6 of NFL training camp for the Washington Commanders. Mark day number 2 of the hold-in from star wide receiver Terry McLaurin. Day number 3, rather, of the hold-in of star wideout Terry McLaurin. He once again signed autographs after practice, and I'll be real, and I don't want to be viewed. This is why you all influence me more than you should, because I read all your comments and your tweets. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P, by the way. I read all your comments. I read all your tweets. You all ask. You all act, not even ask. You all act as if any observation I make that is not licking the team like a damn ice cream cone, I'm a shock jock. I'm being overly critical. What do I know about football all of a sudden? Well, I've said it. I've heard Grant Paulson say it. I've heard J.P. Finley say it. I've heard the junkies say it. I've heard everyone that's been out there say it. Whether you all want to believe it at this point or not, this Commanders offense through the first 6 practices of training camp, a little bit of a problem spot for your boy. I'm not blown away by what I'm seeing offensively. Now, for good reason, right? Obviously, Terry McLaurin not being on the practice field is a major blow for this offense. I think anybody that watches this team and watched this team last year would understand that. Being without Terry McLaurin right now has, in some instances, crippled this offense. Now, today was, what's the adjective I used when describing today's offensive performance to Grant Paulson? I believe if I said clunky is how I described the offense today. It was clunky, right? No Terry McLaurin out there. It feels like the wins on the outside at wide receiver are few and far between. And then when the guys do win and do create separation, like you saw a couple of different times today, they're unable to come up with the catch. Jayden Daniels dropped a ball in the breadbasket of Noah Brown after he was able to slightly get behind Marshon Lattimore, who was still in pretty good coverage. He forced a perfect throw from Daniels. But as you saw last year, that's no problem for our guy. Dropped it right in the bucket. And the ball went through Noah Brown's hands and bounced up off the turf. Another play. Jayden Daniels probably would have been sacked on the play, if I'm being honest. But let's act as if this was last regular season and he was eluding everybody, which he did on a routine basis. Hurls it deep. Beautiful throw. Chris Moore gets behind the defense. Ball goes through his hands. That can't happen. Too many times throughout the first 6 practices of camp, the ball simply hitting the turf too much. Now, the saving grace, I would say, is that, one, I expect Terry McLaurin back at some point. And then, two, the issue that I feel like they're going to run into next year, and they did at times early on in the season, is when you're a defensive coordinator and you're scheming against an offense that does not have a threat on the perimeter, you know what a defensive coordinator is going to say? Oh, let's just run man-to-man coverage across the board. Well, as we found out last year, you can't play a ton of man-to-man coverage against Jayden Daniels because he will make you pay with his legs. Anytime a defender or defensive back has their back turned to Jaden Daniels, good things happen for the offense. So that's something that may help them out during the regular season. Obviously, right now during training camp, you cannot see the entire impact of Jaden Daniels and his ability to scramble because he can't be touched. Now, there were some good moments from the offense today during practice. Jaden Daniels hooked up with Deebo Samuel on a deep ball a couple of different times. He's looked tremendous throughout the first six practices of camp. And I'll even put a little asterisk next to what I'm saying. I've told you all offseason long that I thought Deebo Samuel, whether Terry McLaurin was in the house or not, I thought Deebo Samuel would lead this football team in touchdowns. And through the first six practices, I still feel the same way. But what I've been impressed with the most with Deebo Samuel through six practices, his ability to win and have success as a traditional wide receiver has been awesome to watch. Because there was a lot of hubbub coming out of the offseason about, well, he's just a gadget guy and he's not a wide receiver number two. Newsflash, Deebo Samuel's a football player. And football players make plays no matter what position they're put in. So I have a ton of confidence in Deebo Samuel being able to have a big role. But I've bit my tongue long enough on this. And it's not like I'm writing the season off. It's not like I'm ringing the panic alarm. It's just been severely underwhelming talking about the Commanders and what we've seen from their first team offense to this point. Today in particular, I remember having a sideline conversation with our pal Logan Paulson, who will have with us tomorrow on Overtime. So that's super cool and super good programming nugget for you all. We'll have Logan tomorrow night on Overtime. And one thing that, you know, Logan said to me after I made an observation was, gotta give credit to the defense too. There's no air out there. Things are sticky. The reason I made that comment is I've noticed a couple of different times throughout practices that Jaden Daniels at times, and this happens to all of the quarterbacks all across the National Football League, so please do not start crying. Do not tweet mean things at me for what I'm about to say. There were times during today's practice session where Jaden Daniels gets to the top of his drop and it's pat, 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 scramble. Why? One, the receivers are struggling to create separation. And then two, to me at times throughout this offseason or throughout the first six practices, he hasn't played with, you know, ideal timing and ideal anticipation, right? And if you were being super critical of his game from last year, that is an area where he is a B to B minus type of quarterback when it comes to his ability to consistently throw with anticipation. You saw some of those struggles last year in certain games, right? But here's the thing. When you're Superman, your cape is going to fly in the wind no matter what. Even if it looks untraditional at times. Even if it looks clunky at times like I've described it here today. So, I'm just bringing you what I see out there. Not saying that Jaden stinks, which is what you all will transform it into. I know how you all get now. Not saying Jaden stinks. Not saying the offense is doomed. But I will say this. We'll close out the opening segment on this. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. I don't know how long. I'm not going to pretend either. I have no clue how long Terry McLaurin's holdout is going to last. But I will say this. This team will not accomplish their goals for 2025 if Terry McLaurin's not a part of it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. Depending on how long Terry McLaurin is out, if this lasts into the regular season, there is a strong, strong chance that this offense is not going to reach the heights we thought they would. If the first six practices without McLaurin have been any sort of indicator, this offense not only is missing Terry McLaurin, they need Terry McLaurin. A lot more to get to before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for Nats and Astros coming up later tonight here on The Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll tell you my number one defensive observation from training camp practice number six. It's next here on The Fan. one 800 636 1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's an abbreviated Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Nats baseball comes your way following your boy. As we get into the 7 o'clock hour, do it again to some camp standouts. Tweeted it out earlier. If you have me on the old X app. If y'all were waiting for today's Commanders quiz, today's Commanders pop quiz that we've been giving you all on social media, a little bit of a delay on that. I've made the executive decision, because there's no practice tomorrow, and technically it was going to be a content-free day in terms of training camp, I'll bless the internet, and we'll bring you our Commanders pop quiz tomorrow on social media. So make sure you follow the station on all social media platforms at 106.7 The Fan to check that out. Taking your calls, though, 1-800-636-1067. Through six training camp practices, this offense, the best way that I can describe it is clunky. There have been flashes. There have been splashes. There has not been consistency. And yesterday was the team's first padded practice, so to ring the alarm at this point would be radio malpractice, so I'm not going to do that. But my eyebrow is raised. But I am paying very close attention. And the biggest issue that this offense seems to have is someone on the perimeter outside of the numbers that can consistently win, not named Terry McLaurin. Noah Brown, I think, is a quality third receiver in this league, a pretty good second receiver in this league. He hasn't had the best start to camp to this point in terms of consistently catching the football, making contested catches, creating separation. Today, he went at the line of scrimmage immediately. And then, boom, ball goes right through his hands. Chris Moore, a name that, you know, a lot of people probably are not familiar with. He's had a pretty good camp to this point. He's made plays each and every day, but he also lets the ball get on his chest, and it ends up on the turf. This offense needs Terry McLaurin. And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel like, hey, you know, something's got to give here. Why is Terry asking for so much? Is now the narrative after Adam Schefter revealed the numbers that Terry's camp is allegedly asking for. The bottom line is this. If these training camp practices are any indicator, we keep talking about how much leverage the Commanders have. What about how much leverage Terry McLaurin has? Because I'm telling you now, this offense, as currently constructed, this team, as currently instructed, would not make the playoffs minus Terry McLaurin. So when we talk about trading a guy away and getting draft picks back that can't help you this year, that doesn't do anything for me. This is about the now. You traded for Laremy Tunsil for the now. You traded for Marshawn Lattimore last year at the deadline for the now. You traded for Debo for the now. They need Terry McLaurin in attendance point blank period. In the first six practices, specifically the last two, have been very loud indicators that, yeah, he may not, you know, be a top three wide receiver, but he damn sure is our top guy, and we need him. So if you guys think that I'm joking or hyperbolizing it like you all love to accuse me of doing, here's John Keim of ESPN. We know what the headline is for his story this morning? His post-practice recap. We know what his headline reads, people? Did you all think I'm just some raging lunatic? John Keim says, quote, with McLaurin out, offense struggles. That's been the case. Are you at all concerned about whether or not this offense can move forward without Terry McLaurin? 1-800-636-1067. And I need to phrase that a lot better because I feel like that was a sloppy way to lay it out. Would you be concerned? What would your level of concern be for the 2025 season and this team reaching their goals if Terry McLaurin is not here in week one? 1-800-636-1067. Something funny back there, boys? Bobby is in Calvert County. What's up, Bobby?
How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm great.
Want to start off by saying I love Terry McLaurin. Great commander. From what I don't know him personally, of course, but what I hear, great teammate, you know, great role model, everything. But at the same time, he had about the same amount of games where he had under 22 yards as he had over 100 yards. He had about 8 or 9 games where he didn't have 60 or 70 yards. Mm. Again, I love Terry McLaurin, but first half of the season, all you heard was, we got to get Terry involved.
We got to get Terry involved. I agree.
Right, but we were winning.
But here's the thing.
Why were we winning?
Because it was Arizona. Because it was Cleveland. Because it was, you know?
Right. No, okay, now look at the games that he had 100 yards in. Those weren't the Philly games. Those weren't the Dallas games. No, he didn't come up with 100 yards in the big games either. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm hating on Terry because I love Terry. But at the same time, Jaden Daniels was getting the ball to who was open.
For sure.
I like that over anything.
I do too. Okay, look, Bobby, they call the people that make sandwiches at Subway, Bobby, a sandwich mm-hmm. artist. I'm a sports radio artist that does solo. Okay. So it's my job to give you both sides of the coin. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think, and this is what I think partially is stopping this deal from getting done. There is a belief in that building that they can manufacture offense without Terry McLaurin. I firmly believe they feel that way.
And I believe they could. They did it last year.
But Terry was out there still.
Okay, he's going to be out there.
He draws a ton of attention.
He's not going to lose that. He's not going to lose.
You all have no clue. You all have no clue how this is going to work.
Okay, so honestly, what question? Do you honestly think he'll sit out this season?
I don't think he'll sit out the entirety of the season because he wants to be able to hit free agency. But I think his heels are dug in right now, and don't let him showing up to the building change where things currently stand with this. They are very far apart. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of your calls here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 740. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler take over at that time. They get you warmed up for Nats and Astros. Fellas out in Houston looking to make it 2 in a row. Got Young Weston studio tonight wearing an Astros jersey. I was giving him crap earlier. I said, brother, why was your group only able to register 4 hits last night against Brad Lord and the silly bullpen of the Nationals? Obviously, I'm being extremely facetious. Wes, don't get too excited. I don't want to talk about the Nats. I don't. It's not what I want to do. But we do want to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Are you concerned about this offense minus Terry McLaurin? 1-800-636-1067. I'm telling you straight up, I have no reason to lie. I'm a fan, an even bigger fan than a lot of you out there. So this narrative that I'm overly critical or I'm trying to dunk on the team or poo-poo on them, fly a kite. I'm a mark for this group. I was raised in a Dallas Cowboys household and somehow still bleed burgundy and gold. And I'm a 27-year-old. I saw nothing positive. Last year, Jaden Daniels doing what he did was like Jesus coming to town. I felt like I died and woke up in heaven. That's what last season felt like. So, of course, I want to feel just how you all feel. I want us to win 12 games again. I want us to punch our ticket back to the conference championship. I want all of the feels, all of the emotions. But let's be objective and open and honest and real about where things stand on July the 29th with this football team. Terry McLaurin, his hold in has no end in sight. Let's be real with you. Terry McLaurin and this hold in has no end in sight. And I know everyone wants to look at things through this optimistic view. I know everyone wants to look at things with a glass half full approach. But the reality is the Washington Commanders and Terry McLaurin are very far apart on an extension. And as we sit here on July the 29th, I have no clue when his ankle is going to feel better. But I do know this. Through six practices, minus Terry McLaurin, this offense looks clunky, is the word that I'm going to continue to harp on here. Clunky. There are flashes that they have. There are plays that are made. But the overall consistency is just not there. It's just not. Now, obviously, what we're seeing right now is not even anywhere close to what the offense would look like in week one if they didn't have Terry McLaurin. Because what you cannot take into account right now is the impact Jaden Daniels has on the ground with his legs. That, to me, would be the saving grace right now. And I fully trust Cliff Kingsbury and company to be able to scheme guys open. They did it last year with Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder on his third act here in D.C. So I don't think the offense would be anemic, but it wouldn't be top five in scoring the way it was last year. It wouldn't be the best fourth down team in the history of the NFL, right? They're a different unit without McLaurin. How different are they? For the first six, you know, practices of training camp, they're very different. Terry McLaurin's under, I see a caller on the line here. We'll get to all of you here in a second. The description says, Terry is under contract and will play. So what are you talking about? Do you know Terry McLaurin? Do you know what Terry McLaurin is thinking right now? You don't. I don't. John Keim doesn't. Grant Paulson doesn't. No one knows what Terry McLaurin is thinking right now. We're all making educated guesses. But what I've continued to hear from trusted folks around the park, say, yeah, like the two sides are far apart. Other members of the beat, they're far apart. No one knows when this thing is going to end. No one does. I have all the hope in the world that this gets resolved. But I continue to put a percentage on it every time I'm on the air. 65% chance to me that things get resolved and they're able to play nice. 35% chance that things get messy and one of the bad, ugly endings are on the table. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I fully do have confidence in the offensive talent, though, at the quarterback position, right? Like, I think Jaden is the type of guy that makes everyone around him better. And we saw that last year with Olamide Zaccheaus having a career year. Jamison Crowder being impactful. All right, Zach Ertz having a career renaissance. He makes everyone better. But Terry McLaurin, to me, is the straw that stirs the drink for this group. We complained a lot last year about why aren't they getting Terry involved? Why aren't they getting Terry involved? Terry is the only skill guy in this offense, the only wideout tight end that draws attention from defenses that you have to scheme for. You take Terry McLaurin off this offense, Washington would see a boatload of man coverage, I think. But here's where I get to be a sandwich artist, right? I made the comparison earlier. The people that make your sandwiches at Subway are sandwich artists. I'm a solo radio artist, so it's my job to give you both sides of the coin. So while I think they'd struggle initially, I do have confidence in the quarterback. And here is the catch-22 of all this. The defensive coordinator in their thought process would be, hey, let's play man-to-man against Washington because they don't have any guys on the perimeter that can win one-on-one. But like I said earlier, you can't play man-to-man defense against Jaden Daniels all day long because he can flat-out boogie. 1-800-636-1067. If Terry McLaurin's hold-in lasts into the regular season, I would be really concerned about this offense and their ability to reach their goals for this year. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Teddy is in Woodbridge. Wants to chime in. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell?
What's going on, bro?
Appreciate you taking my call, man.
For sure.
So it's a question I have. Obviously, I'm not an agent. I don't have a crystal ball to see the future. But I don't see how sitting out four games in a year where you're supposed to be kind of showcasing your talents for the next year will benefit you, on top of the fact that the team can franchise tag you as well if they want to, twice, and now you're sitting there at 32, 33 years old. I'm not an agent, but apparently Terry's agent isn't an agent as well. I just don't understand.
That's a good line.
I just don't understand, like, what their end game is. But I don't know Terry, but I do believe he's going to play. I think he's saving himself, obviously, for the season. But I do believe he's going to play because he's going to want to prove. He's a competitor. That's what Dan Quinn says all the time. He's an awesome competitor. He wants to show what he is worth. So that's why I think he will play. Not necessarily because, but he wants to continue to show.
Yeah.
And I do think they will reward him going down.
Look, Teddy, if they haven't done it to this point, brother, what's changing now? I'm not asking that question facetiously because you know what's changing now? You know what's changing now, Teddy? They get to watch this offense minus Terry McLaurin. And that'll make you want to pay somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm terrified, brother. I'll be real with you.
You know what? I'm interested in watching them without him in the preseason. Obviously, preseason games mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go up to play, when they go up to practice in New England and when they practice in Buffalo, I mean, in Baltimore, and he's still not with the team, I think that's when I'm going to raise the alarm if the offense flutters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they look great with Sam Howell in them a couple of seasons ago.
And preseason, right? But Howell, it's different. Good. It's different when you're getting game plan for it, Teddy. I appreciate you calling as always, brother, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, like, I don't want to get there, but I am curious about it, right? Like, I don't want to get to a point where we're watching this team without Terry McLaurin, but I'm real enough to understand that, like, you know what? Like, everything's on the table at this point. Like, that's how I feel about the situation. Everything's on the table at this point. I'm not sure which way this is going to go. I do know this. The Commanders need Terry McLaurin a hell of a lot more than Terry McLaurin needs the Commanders. 1-800-636-1067. Orlando is out in Mechanicsville. What's going on, bro?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
Actually, if you look at the market's already been set. Terry's a top 10, top 12 receiver. You saw DK Metcalf get his money. You saw Garrett Wilson. They got about 33 mil. Both of them are younger than Terry. I would say DK is not as good as a receiver as Terry. Neither is, I would say, Wilson, in my opinion, but they're both younger. But I don't see, like, I'm seeing reports that he's wanting 37, 38, 39 million.
So
I think a perfect number would be, like, him getting the 35 that Justin Jefferson got last year. And hey, 4 years, 35. We'll meet you right there.
Man, if you were – man, Terry would love if you were Adam Peters. 4 for $35 annually, he'd sign that today. He would sign – I believe if they offered him a four-year deal with an average annual salary of $35 million, he'd sign it right now. I just don't think they're anywhere near his asking price. So I do want to touch on something you mentioned, Orlando, because it's a great point. We played it all day yesterday in the updates. Adam Schefter of ESPN joined Pat McAfee and said that, yeah, McLaurin looking for considerably more than DK Metcalf. You know how I took that? I took that as, for the first time this offseason, Adam Peters and company, who have been whisper quiet, have kept it super professional at the podium, this is their first time negotiating through the media, getting their messaging out through their water holder and Adam Schefter. Because I don't know. And like I said, I don't know for sure. This is just me making an educated guess. If Terry McLaurin's asking for considerably more than what DK Metcalf got, I guess what exactly considerably more is obviously huge in this. But like, I don't think Terry's ignorant here. What do you? What's more believable of the two leaked contract figures that have come out? What's more believable? The fact that Terry, because remember what came out yesterday from Schefter, that Terry's camp is looking for considerably more than DK Metcalf. Think about what came out last week when the report was the Commanders are only looking to give him a slight pay increase from his $23 million salary this year. What's more believable? I think the first part of it is more believable. I just can't see Terry asking. Justin Jefferson's making $35 million annually. He got $88 million at signing. Ja'Marr Chase, $40 million annually. $73.9 at signing. I just don't think Terry is, I don't even want to call him foolish because I ain't trying to joan on him or bid off of him. I just don't think he's greedy enough to ask for something like that. When you stack up his numbers against Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, he doesn't measure up. You even stack his numbers up against CeeDee Lamb and you begin to have an interesting conversation. To me, Deebo Samuel got 4 years for $132, $33 million AAV, and then it was a $60 million guaranteed at signing. I think the sweet spot for Terry McLaurin is a three-year deal worth $34 million annually. The guaranteed money, I think, is what could be the holdup here. Throughout this entire process, I thought the average annual salary was the holdup. The more I think about it, maybe it's the guaranteed money. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. How confident are you, though, in this offense having success without Terry McLaurin? What type of success could this offense have during the season if Terry McLaurin had to miss games? With their schedule, I don't think they'd make the playoffs if Terry McLaurin chose to sit out this year, or if they had to trade Terry McLaurin away this year and they couldn't get another wide receiver option in the building. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Your call's next. One 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. The first six practices of Commanders training camp. The best way I can describe this offense is clunky. They've had splash plays. They've showed flashes. They've had some moments to make you go, ah, see, that's what we saw for the better part of 20 weeks last season. You're going to have that happen when you have a bona fide top five kid under center at the quarterback position. He is going to, you know, keep your head above water for the most part. What I am concerned about is not what I'm seeing in training camp, is how this offense would look during the regular season without Terry McLaurin. And we're at a point right now where I don't know when Terry McLaurin is going to end his holding, when that ankle is going to feel better. But I do know this, and I ended the last segment with it. The Washington Commanders need Terry McLaurin far more than Terry McLaurin needs the Commanders. Because this offense is not the same unit without him. And I'm not giving away state secrets when I say that. I know the casualist of fan should be able to comprehend that. But the question is, are you concerned about this offense going into the regular season without Terry McLaurin? 1-800-636-1067. Because I'll tell you this, I do think it's a real possibility because I see no end in sight when it comes to this holdout. All right, Captain Todd wants to chime in. Ayo, Captain.
What's going on now? You're coming in hot tonight, man.
Coming
you guys
in
get
hot.
Up on social media again?
Coming in hot. That @NELL_BTP.
I'm shocked you're getting beat up on social media. Shocked.
Well, yeah. Shocked. Should be.
Yeah. Yo, man. This whole thing. First of all, those two leaks, by the way, on both ends, I think are BS.
Okay.
And on the radio, you actually just say those two letters. You don't actually have to say the word. I was actually talking to Heavy Metal Chris. Shout out Heavy Metal Chris. And I was thinking about this while you were talking. Like, what if the defense is actually just really good? Like, what if what if Amos and Schoen and Samrasol just locking everyone down?
That's a possibility.
It would look different. Yeah, and I know it would look different if Terry was out there. But, like, what if, like, we have a top 10 defense in the making? Like, what if the defense is just really, really good?
I very much think that's a possibility, Captain Todd. But we won't know, obviously, until we take a trip up to Foxborough. Where we practice against the New England Patriots. and drank
mine.
I'll
be in New Hampshire, too, for that.
Really? You'll be right up the block.
Yeah, I'll be at a bar. I'll be at a bar down the block watching the pass play.
So Captain Todd, answer the question here quickly, brother, because we got a bunch of more guys to get to. So would you be confident in this team's ability to make the postseason if it gets to a point where Terry McLaurin is traded for an asset that cannot help you immediately?
Postseason, yes. Super Bowl, no. Everyone keeps saying all these teams won the Super Bowl without a number one receiver. Well, the Eagles had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith last year, so that's all moot. All right, like you go 9-7 and you sneak into the playoffs, but you are not a Super Bowl contender
without Terry. I totally agree with you, Captain Todd. I appreciate the call as always, brother. Have a good night, man. 1-800-636-1067. How confident are you in this football team's ability to make the playoffs if they have to part ways with Terry McLaurin? And I get it, right? I think we're a little bit away from that. We're not miles away from it, though, because I'll be real. I will be so real. I keep going back to that Eastern's Automotive group shoot. The tone that Terry McLaurin spoke with, homie ain't playing. And if you think he is, shame on you. First of all, it's a very unique negotiation, and we said this going in. But what we're seeing right now is two sides that are dug in. What changes? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to Brian in Greenbelt. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Brian?
What up, Lanelle?
What up, B? How you doing?
Let me start this off, man. I'm not an agent, but apparently that was cold, man. Yeah. My man did not have that. Was ice cold.
I know, right? Dear Buddy Baker, the worst way possible.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going to find out. That's what the gamble is, man. I mean, Adam Peters, and I'm glad that Terry showed up to the camp. I'd rather him go through the off-season activities, get in football shape. If you want to hold out games and you're so serious, do what you got to do, man. This is the gamble. I mean, Adam Peters is like, man, what if we do well without Terry?
Man, I think it's possible, but I just feel like against the elite teams – you got to have somebody on the perimeter that puts fear in the heart of defenses. And without McLaurin, I just don't think this skill group has that.
Me neither. But I'm looking at it like this, man. T. Higgins, he kind of messed it all up. He's taking 40 guaranteed. Sutton got 40 guaranteed.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson got 90 guaranteed. DK Metcalf got 60. So what does that put Terry? DK and Terry stats pretty much identical. Terry's 2 years older. Garrett Wilson's way younger. Elite receptions. I mean, where does Terry fall, and who's playing hardball here? I don't know. We don't know.
Exactly. So, and look, you can put me in that category as well. I'm about to say, I don't know either. So don't call up here thinking I got the answers. I appreciate you, Brian. It's tough. It is a sticky negotiation, man, point blank. I wonder how close we are to the fan base turning on Terry McLaurin. Because it feels like throughout the entirety of this process, everyone has been pro-Terry McLaurin. At some point, though, I anticipate that changing. How quickly that changes is the question. Let's go to my main man out in the 757. Paulie wants to chime in. What's going on, big dog? Damn, did we lose Paulie? I was waiting for a hail to the W. I ain't getting nothing.
Hail to the W, baby.
What it do, brother?
What up, my guy, man? You a funny dude, bro.
How you doing?
Now, but I'm going to stick to the question just because I know we pressed on time and all that. Listen, man, no Terry means no playoffs. Mm. Probably losing season. Mm. JD makes the other receivers better. Well, Terry's already good.
Yeah.
JD makes Terry great.
Right.
No, excuse me. He puts him in position to be great. And Terry is clutch. And he takes advantage of that position. There's no other receiver on the team that has that skill set that Terry had. And you just take it back last year, right? What happened after week 3 when Terry started getting off and getting downfield? Teams start saying, well, you know what? Let's give that dude some help over the top.
And then it opened up everything for everyone else. Yep.
And it didn't open up. No. What it did was it exposed Noah Brown as being a player who can't run past anybody, and they started sitting on Noah Brown routes. Now, the offense didn't pick up as far as the passing game went until De'Ami Brown started getting incorporated because Noah Brown got hurt. And now you had two people who could stretch the field, and then Terry really started getting off because he couldn't just sit on look at that Detroit game.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So my point is, hell yeah, they need Terry. And Terry's not playing, and Terry does have an agent. And between Terry and his agent, they sat down and said, okay, we want this amount of money to this amount of money. We might settle somewhere in between, but we're not going past this. And this is either a pay or trade me type of deal. We don't have to worry about going into a franchise tag and all. We're not going to make it that far. It's either they're going to come to a middle ground and they're going to pay him some good money, or they're going to have to trade him.
Yep.
One or the other. And that's going to hurt us this year because we're not going to find a receiver this, unless, you know, cross our lucky fingers, one of these young guys do step up to that capability, but it's going to take, you know, that's like scratching a lottery ticket right now. Unless that happens,
it's going to be tough.
We're going to be in trouble, man.
It's going to be tough. Paulie, I appreciate you as always, brother. We're right up against it. This is our final segment coming up next. Nets baseball comes your way at 7:40. When we come back, we'll go rapid fire through the other seven calls on the line. That's next on The Fan.